Well, I am excited this morning to have some wonderful, wonderful missionary guests with us, John and Darlena Bean. They're missionaries to Slovakia, and I was telling you guys last week, but Kinsey and I started our ministry in the church that they planted in my hometown in Springfield, Missouri, and so if it wasn't for them and their ministry there, our ministry would look completely different. And not only that, but we had them over for dinner last night, and we're just sharing with them just the impact they've had on our family, them planting seeds into the lives of people in our family that have now come to know Jesus, which is absolutely wonderful. And so you never know how God is going to use you. Because we were talking last night, it's just crazy how all of these connections have been made that they never would have known the impact that they had. And it was just a reminder to me, too, that those small interactions that you have with people, whether it's just a little word of encouragement or a quick prayer, whatever it is, it can have eternal impact on somebody's life. And so I'm excited to have them, wonderful friends, with us this morning. He's going to come and they're going to share about what God has called them to do in Slovakia among the Roma people. And so give them a round of applause as they come this morning and share with us.
Thank you. Amen. What a joy it is to be in Tin Sleep, Wyoming, and to meet more of God's lovely people. We're a long ways from home, but we feel at home right here with you, and because we have the same spirit, the same Lord. And so I've enjoyed the service to this point, and it's a great honor to be with Pastor Brandon and Kinsey. Thank you for your hospitality last night. A wonderful time. And we are just traveling throughout America, telling people about our mission work. And we just prayed before we started in January. Just said, Lord, order our steps wherever you take us. Help us to be a blessing. And not so much for you to hear us, but we want to be here to encourage you and to just help you to keep your faith and steady with God. Amen. We are John and Darlena Bean, missionaries to Slovakia. And how many's ever heard of Slovakia? Okay, good. How many's ever heard of Czechoslovakia? Okay. You just told on yourself how old you are with that one. Yeah. Yeah, we are in Slovakia. There are two different countries now, the Czech Republic and the Republic of Slovakia. And it's a country of about 5.5 million people. And it is a landlocked country in Central Europe. We're actually right in the heart of Europe. And it's surrounded by five other countries. And Austria to the west of us, Czech Republic to the northwest, Poland's directly north of us, and to the east of us is Ukraine, and Hungary's to the south. So that kind of gives you an idea where we are in the world. And it's wonderful to be there. And among those 5.5 million people, 500,000 of those are they're a marginalized people group called the Roma people. Most of you probably never heard of Roma, but how many's ever heard of a gypsy? All right, so that's a more familiar term we use in America because most people don't know. Their official name is Roma. They come from northern India, and they moved into Europe about 1,000 years ago, and there's about 100 million of them in the world, and but we have about 500,000 in our country, and God has burdened our heart to serve them and work with them. They're the poorest people group in Europe, and they're very, very poverty-stricken people, ostracized. They are just, racism against them is incredible. But God is doing a phenomenal thing in their life. And so I'm just going to kind of step aside here a moment, let you see a short video of kind of who we're serving, what kind of people they are. Then Darlene is going to come back and tell you a little bit more about what we do with these people. Man. Historians tell us that the Roma people came from northern India, and they began to migrate into Europe through Turkey up into Central Europe about 1,000 years ago. As they began to come into Europe, they began to face opposition and many difficult struggles as they began to settle out through Europe. But as years progressed and as history began to unfold, as we know, then came the different wars that happened in Europe. And with that came, as we know, World War II, and the Nazi regime began to take over all of Central Europe. They began to bring persecution, not only to the Jewish people, but also to the Gypsies.
when the Nazi regime left, then on the heels of that came the communist regime. The communists then began to raise what we call the Iron Curtain, and for about 50 years, the gypsies were stopped at this point from moving anymore throughout Europe. And they settled in Slovakia and began to have communities. They had shanties and projects that they were forced into and no longer able to move around. And so they began to settle in almost 700 villages in Slovakia. There are people without a country. There are people without a nationality. They are marginalized, as I said, living on the outskirts of most cities and only live by a stipend from the government every month. Many of them, the reason why they beg and borrow and steal is because about halfway through the month, their money runs out, and so they have nothing to feed their children, and so they have to find food some way. The only thing that we're beginning to see that's changing this whole cultural problem is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God into salvation. It's the only thing that has the power to change a life that's been stuck in a cultural rut for thousands of years. Even a mayor of one of the villages said, the only thing that we're seeing that's making a difference among the Roma is the church of Jesus Christ. The gospel is making a difference. An official at Bratislava, one of the government officials, also mentioned that the only thing he's seen that's changed the Roma people is Christianity and the work of Christ. So we can see that the gospel is power. It's able to transform the life of people who are bound by sin. And what was such darkness, and still is much darkness in the region, light has sprung up, and now we're seeing life-changing situations in many of these villages. There's much work to be done, but we've already seen God do tremendous work already in the lives of these people. Our goal is to continue to help plant churches among the gypsies. Since this revival has started, hundreds are coming to Christ in different villages, and so they're needing pastors, they're needing church buildings, and that's where our heart's at, is to try to be a facilitator, someone that can help provide them a place to worship and also bring people alongside us who can help train and to mature and disciple them to become matured people of Jesus Christ. We really believe that one of the biggest changes that will happen in the culture of the Roma will start with the next generation. Another thing that we're focusing on is also trying to invest more in the young people. We started youth camps 3 years ago, and we're having several hundred youth be able to come. And they're coming out sometimes the first time ever getting to get out of their village and go to another place to stay for a week. But we provide them housing and food, and many of them have never been able to eat three meals a day. It's just amazing to see the excitement in their eyes and to see them come to Christ and then go back into their villages and change the youth and also change their village through the youth. And so we believe that the next generation is what we need to invest more in, so we can see the whole Roma culture begin to shift more and more to Christ. And so our goal is to bring the gospel, and then the gospel does the work. Christ will do the transforming. He will do the changing. He's just called us to go in love and to share our life with others. I believe with all my heart that a people that's been ostracized, marginalized, and the poorest of poor in Europe, God's going to use these very people to bring revival to all of Europe. He uses the weak to confound the strong. He uses sometimes the simple to confound the wise. Sometimes he uses the poor to confound the rich. And so I believe that God can use this people group called the Roma people to make a difference in Europe and even in the world. And we would love for you to partner with us to help us see that difference come about in Europe. And greater things are still to be done in this city.
Greater things have yet to come. Amen. Anybody like to come to Slovakia? No? No hands? No takers. Praise the Lord. Well, everywhere I go, I tell people that Slovakia is beautiful, but now that I came through Wyoming, I'm like, oh, I think Wyoming's even better. So I'm a little bit envious. We might need to trade spots here. I don't know. Praise the Lord. No, as you've already seen, as we've already said a few times, Slovakia is known as Europe's best keeper. Let me back up a little bit. Happy Mother's Day. Okay. I'm a mother of five. They're all married. We have 10 grandchildren, and that all happened in like 38 and a half years. We went from 2 to 22. So how does that happen, moms? It happens really fast, doesn't it? So I just want to say to all the mothers, enjoy the journey. From the time they're born until they're married, and you still have to take care of them. But enjoy the journey, and I'm just thankful for God's blessings that he sends to mothers and helps on our journey. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, here we go. So, Europe's best kept secret. The reason Slovakia is called that is because it is a landlocked country, and it is beautiful, but very few people know it because it's so small. And so we feel blessed to be able to be missionaries there. But while we were there, our first term, which we're getting ready now to go in our fourth term, our first term we found something more beautiful, and that's what you've just seen, is the Roma Gypsy people. And they captured our heart instantly, and we fell in love with them. And so God moved us from the capital city of Bratislava, Slovakia, from the west all the way over to the east, where we started working with the Roma people, where there's more than 1,000 villages throughout Slovakia of these very poor, marginalized, poverty-stricken people. And people say, well, what do you do? Well, a few years ago when we were itinerating and we were sharing like this in a church about all the needs of the Roma people, afterwards a woman came to me and she said, the Lord spoke to me and he wants me to tell you this. When you get there, it's going to be so overwhelming for you that you will not be able to meet all the needs of these people. There's too much, too many needs. But the Spirit told me to tell you, love them. And so that's what we did. We went and we loving on the people. And then God began to open so many doors because we just were bringing the love of Jesus to them. So how do we do this? Several ways. We minister holistically, which means we minister through physical and through spiritual, social, whatever their need is, that's how we minister to them because that's what they need, everything. But what is so wonderful about ministering to the gypsies is they have nothing, but when they find Jesus, it becomes their everything. And that's the amazing part of being able to minister to them. So first we do church planting. We just go right into the villages, usually with other Roma pastors, the nationals there in Slovakia. And this is about a year ago, a brand new village that we went into called Šariška Jastrabija. You want to say that with me? Šariška Jastrabija. This village here, and we started telling them about Jesus, and already there's a church plant there. And many are coming to Christ. So once you have so many coming to Christ, what do you need to do next? You need to build a church for them to come and worship. Because instantly they fill up their homes because they're just little shacks. So there's not room for everybody. So they start like dividing them up. But eventually we went to building the church. So we've had approximately 35 teams in the recent years to come to Slovakia and help us build churches. And we welcome churches to come and help do that anytime. Another thing that we do is compassion ministry. Actually, in the last year, it's been even more because we had some Ukrainian refugees to come across, and they were actually Roma Ukrainian refugees that nobody else wanted. The other people within Slovakia, the government places, they didn't want them. So the Roma pastors took them in, and we did a lot of compassion ministry through water, food, clothing. And we do this, though, all the time, not just for the refugees, because the Roma people have nothing. And what was so amazing to see the Roma people that have nothing giving to the Roma Ukrainians, the refugees. They were giving everything they had. And so they are loving people, giving people, because I believe God has changed them through his word. Amen. And one of the other things we do is children's ministry, as you already saw on the video. There's so many children. There's thousands of children. And when I go into a village and you just have to tell one person, and then all the children come running. So we're talking about a space of these, like, four rows back here. We jam-pack about 75 to 100 children two or three times a week in a space like that. Up until just a few months ago, now they have a church, praise God, and they have a big space. But it's amazing. These children have no boundaries. You know, they just roam. So they can be a lot of behavioral problems. But it's amazing how you pack 100 children with no boundaries, and they're listening to a story about Jesus they've never heard before. Like, can you imagine a whale swallowing a person? No, their eyes are that big, you know. So you tell a story about a young man that picked up a rock and threw it and killed a giant. Well, you've got all ears and all eyes. So it's amazing to share with these children and to be a part of this ministry. And we just want to say thank you for Mountain View Assembly of God for having us to come and share about our ministry and see your pastor that we haven't seen in years and to renew some friendship there. God bless you this morning. And once again, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to your mothers. My mother today is 88. She'll be 89 in September, and she has full-fledged Alzheimer's and don't know who I am most of the time, but she loves Jesus, and she's loved him for over 70 years, 75 years, and she can't do much at all, but she can still pray and still knows God. And so I just admire her, and I know she's at church this morning with my dad. He's 89, be 90 in October. And so my wife and I come from great heritages and wonderful parents that love the Lord, and we appreciate the mother's influence. There's three people in the Bible that had great influence by mom. How many's ever heard of Jochebed? That's a kind of an unusual name in the Bible, but that was Moses' mom. She had him when they were killing the babies. She put him in a tar pit, like basket, stuck him in the river. In the middle of all that stuff going on, she still had him, and she got to feed him because God worked a miracle out through that. You know how that story went. Later on, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. His brother was the high priest, Aaron. His sister was a worship leader, Miriam. The influence of that mother was phenomenal. And so if I could challenge you moms this morning, more than anything you give your kids, give them influence about God and about his ways. And your kids can change the world for God. Amen. So I love my wife, too, 39 years, almost this year in August. And so she's a great mom. And so I salute her also this morning. It's a joy to be with you. This, as Darlene had mentioned, we've been in a 22-year revival in Slovakia among the Roma people. And this last year in the home church we worked in there, we baptized 200 people. And so God is just doing phenomenal things there, and we're just riding out the wave with the Lord and working. We feel like two kids in a candy store. I mean, we're so excited to see what God is doing, and the doors have just opened up immensely for us, and so we're grateful. I tell people every time you snap a bean, grind a bean, bake a bean, whatever you do with beans, remember to pray for these beans, okay? And as you go out today of the service, please just stop by our table and get a prayer card just to pray for us. We go through a lot of things on the field and have a lot of obstacles we're up against spiritually and in other ways, physically. And so when people's praying for us, we can feel your prayers across the pond. And so we're grateful for that. Amen. This morning, I'm just going to challenge you from the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, if you have a Bible. Just going to speak to you for a few minutes on the mission sermon this morning. I feel like my wife and I are like scouts. How many are like baseball scouts or basketball scouts? I mean, they go to games and they watch for potential people who have qualities and abilities, and they try to get them. And so that's what we do as missionaries. We go to churches, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we want God to bring new people into the field. The Bible says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth labors into the harvest. And so we need more people working in the fields. And we pray this morning we can challenge you to either go, give, or pray. And you can do one of those things for the kingdom of God. Romans 1, verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called. And that's all I want to use out of that passage. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called. Everybody say called this morning. Called. I'm going to challenge you this morning to catch your call. Catch your call. A young farmer was standing in the field one day, and he was working in his field, and he happened to look up, and he saw these clouds begin to form over the field. And as he began to look, he thought, man, those clouds look like they're forming different letters. And he observed more and more. He realized it looks like those clouds are forming G, P, and C. And so he was just taken back by this phenomenon. He just kept looking at that, and he said, God, what are you trying to say to me? And you're forming these three letters, GPC. And he really just came to the conclusion that God was saying, go preach Christ. GPC. He was so excited. He went to the church that week. He told the deacons and the elders of the church that I believe God's calling me to preach. And I just wanted you to know what happened. And I saw these letters, GPC, go preach Christ. And so the deacons and the elders got together and said, well, listen, since you feel like you're called to preach, why don't you preach next Sunday at our church? And so they invited him to come. That Sunday come around, he got in the pulpit, he preached, and it was completely horrible. He preached this long sermon. Oh, it was a disaster. Everybody's just about ready to fall out of their seats listening to this guy preach. When he got done, the deacons and everybody just sat there in stunned silence. And finally, one of the elders spoke up and said, son, I know you saw these letters, GPC, and you thought God was probably saying, go preach Christ, but I really believe that God's maybe saying, go plant corn. Amen. He got a call from God, but he got the wrong one, possibly. But I believe that all of us in our life are called by God. God calls us to do something for him. We were just touched last night while we sat around the table at Pastor's house, listening to their call when we were coming through Wyoming and seeing your beautiful country and coming through these mountains here. And we were just like, I told Pastor, we just kept saying, wow, 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 it was so beautiful. And when we got here, we're saying, how did God call this guy from Springfield, Missouri, all the way out to Tinsleep, Wyoming? And so he was sharing with us how God has spoke to them to come to your church here. And that's the way God works in our life. We have a call. There's something that God puts in our heart. He puts in our soul. And he calls us to do something for him. And once he does, we can't do anything but do what he wants us to do. And so it's important for us to catch the call. As we travel around different places, people often ask us as missionaries, how did you find your call? How did you get to where you are today in your ministry? It all started for me when I was 12 years old. I was in a Sunday school class in Southern Missouri. Went to Sunday school every Sunday, just like normal. And that class started out on this particular Sunday. And the teacher stopped the class and he said, I just want to take a moment and be quiet before the Lord. Just like this moment of silence we had a while ago. He said, because I believe the Lord has spoke to me that someone in this class is going to get called by God. And so he just kind of stopped the class and he instructed us, only 12 years old, instructed us to how we can listen to the voice of God and know that God's speaking to our lives. And so we sat there. I don't know if that morning, if anything happened to anyone else. I don't know if they experienced anything. But that pause in that class was the first time I felt God calling me to the ministry. And it was that pause that made it a change in my life that brought me to this place today here in Tinsleep, Wyoming. Amen. The call of God 42 years ago. It wasn't a lightning bolt. It wasn't a prophetic utterance. No one got up and said, God's calling you. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was a tap on my shoulder as though the Holy Spirit was saying, I've got a work for you to do. And God began to order my steps and direct my path. And now here I stand before you 42 years later because God called me way back then. So I'm telling you, the call of God is significant and it's important in our lives because we never know where God can take us and God can use us for his glory. The concept of the call of God is a profound thing in the Bible. As we look to the scriptures, it's filled with stories about God calling men and women just like you and I, ordinary people that God put his hand upon. And these people were willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. And God used them to change their generation. Exciting people like Moses, who was called, you know, to lead his children out of Egypt. People like Noah was called to build an ark to save the world from destruction. People like Abraham was called to lead his people out of the Ur of Chaldees and to become the father of a great nation. I mean, Esther was called to come to the kingdom for such a time as this, to spare the lives of her own people. So many people, people like Joshua, Jonah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Deborah, I mean, Peter, Paul, Priscilla, all these people, and many more in the Bible that I don't mention this morning, they were called by God, and because they said yes, they changed the world, and they changed their generation for Jesus Christ. I want to say something to you this morning. Those of you that feel a call in your life, that God's calling you in particular areas of your life, maybe to be a mother, or maybe to be a school teacher, or whatever he's called you to be, there's challenges in the call. God will call you, but also there is a bittersweet to the call. Because there will be times you'll go through some of the toughest battles you'll ever face in your life in the call of God. God will take you through some deep valleys. You'll face the heat of the enemy like you've never noticed before. There will be times where there's darkness and obstacles that you come up against. The call will take you into these difficult times, but it was also the call that will bring you through those times and bring you to the victory on the other side. Can you hear an amen? Amen. We've all done it. I know your pastor, they go through sickness maybe here, or your struggles they've had, loneliness sometimes, or all these things that they'll face in their life, but it's the same call that keeps us steady and going in all of our life. And so it's so important. Noah, as I mentioned a moment ago, he was called to build this ark. 120 years he worked on an ark. The Bible says that he was a preacher of righteousness. So for 120 years he preached, he had church. However, he ministered to people for 120 years. In 120 years he had 7 converts. Only 7 people got saved. It was tough, but he continued and he did the fulfillment of the call that God placed upon his life. Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the Bible says the whole time they were working and the enemy was coming against them. And the Bible says they had to fight with one hand and work with the other, right? He had a sword in one hand and had his tools in the other hand, but they completed the wall. The call brought them through. Daniel was taken by the call of God and put in a lion's den. But the same God that put him there brought him out and shut the mouths of the lions. So God is able to help us if we are obedient to him and follow the call of God in our lives. Back in 1990s, God began to speak to our hearts. We were in between ministries, and we began to seek the Lord for direction for our lives. And I always had a pastoral calling. I felt like God had called us to pastor. And so while we were in between these two transitions of ministry, I was praying at night, going to the church, and we was living with her brother and sister-in-law, and her sister and brother-in-law, my brother-in-law, and he was pastoring the church, gave me a key, said, go and be in the church anytime you want. So I'd work all day and go down there at night. I'd walk around the church and pray, God, give me direction. I want to know what you're calling us to do. And I'd come home and I'd tell her, this is what I think we're going to do. And the next morning I'd wake up and that call wasn't there. I knew it was just me. But one night I got serious before God and I walked around that church and said, Lord, I'm not going to leave this church till I hear from you. And I buried my head on the front pew. And in 15 minutes, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to plant a church in Springfield, Missouri. And I was in Paducah, Kentucky at the time. And that next morning, I got up. I told my wife, this is what God said for us to do. And I went and told my boss. I gave him a 2-week notice. And 2 weeks later, we were headed to Springfield to plant a church in 1992. And we were there for 15 years planting a church. Oh, it was challenging. Sometimes we had no music. A lot of times we had no money. Oftentimes we had difficult people we worked with, and we worked with drug addicts and alcoholics, and we had all kinds of broken homes and broken families, and it was a challenge for us. But you know what? We loved it there because we were called there. Amen? The call took us through those times, provided a way for us, and built character. We learned more probably than what we taught people, but we learned. God grew us and developed us and prepared us for being in Slovakia now. And so after we were there for 10 years, God began to speak to our hearts about missions, and we really didn't never dream we'd be missionaries, but God began to speak to our hearts. And I kept telling my church, if God ever calls you to go somewhere, you've got to be obedient to him. And the day I stood in front of our church and said, I've been telling you for years that if God speaks to you, you got to go. And today I'm telling you, he spoke to us, and we're going to be missionaries. So we had to follow that call. And so God called us in 2007 to be missionaries. And in 2008, we began to start the missionary trail. And we went to Slovakia. And as Darlene has said, our first year we spent in Bratislava planning an international English-speaking church. And they're kind of a male-oriented culture. Women don't do much in the church. It was mainly men that run everything, and women hardly just did nothing. And so Darlene had been working side by side with me in ministry and women's ministry and children's ministry, and all of a sudden, everything just dried up for her. I'd go to work every day and meet with pastors and visit and have meetings and prepare for our church and all these things, and she had to be at home, hardly doing anything but just keeping our house going, and she just couldn't work like we usually do, and so she was just stressed. Here we were, 5,500 miles from home, left our kids, left our family, left loved ones, and left all that behind and come, and she's just stuck at home. And I'd come home from work, and she'd be curled up on the couch all day, crying and depressed and lonely and saying, God, what are we doing here? And I would come in, and she said, John, are you sure this is where we're supposed to be? Are you sure we're in the will of God? And I'd take her to my arms and said, this is where we're supposed to be because God called us here. And I said, it's hard now. It's difficult now. It's cloudy now. It's foggy now. You don't see where you're going. But one day the sun's going to shine and we're going to see why we're supposed to be here. And God began to do that. We went through the black night of the soul, the dark night of the soul. We couldn't feel God. We couldn't see God. It was a hard time. But today, the sun is shining, and God has opened doors for us, and we're working with these beautiful people, and we've got more work than we know what to do with. And Darlena is overwhelmed with ministry and helping with children and women and all kinds of things, translating materials into the language of these kids. I mean, God has opened up doors. But I'm so glad we listened to the call of God, because we would have missed all of that had we listened to our flesh and went the ways of our flesh. So the call of God takes us through these difficult times in all of our lives, and so it's important to follow that call. And what I've shared with you just this last few minutes about our ministry in the States here and our ministry overseas is our call story. It's our call story, how God has directed our lives, and he's brought us to this church this morning, and he's guided our steps and ordered our lives. And I want to tell you this morning, you can have a call story too, and you may already have one. But God wants to develop one in your life. He wants to mentor you and nurture you and order your steps in your life that he can use you in a powerful way in this world. A call story is a story about whispered words and moments that God speaks to us in our intimate time with him. He tells us what he wants us to do and shows us people and burdens us for their needs of the society and around us, that people have needs. I'm hearing fewer and fewer call stories as I travel across America. I go to Bible schools and go to places where there's young people, and I'm hearing more young people involved in careers, not callings. No one's wanting to be called anymore. They want to make it big in life. They want to have big things and have big experiences and have a lot of money and a lot of things in society, prestige and power. But very few people are listening to the call of God anymore. I love when someone comes up to me and says, you know what, John, I just want to share with you how God called me to do this, or God called me to do that. That's what God's looking for, is people with an open heart, willing to hear his voice and be obedient to his call. I want to challenge you this morning to catch your call, to find what God wants you to do in your time here on earth. One day, it's possible that you'd be laying right here in a casket, beautiful casket, if the Lord tarries his coming. And if it's Pastor Branding standing over you and he's speaking about you, may he be able to say this: they worked well. They fulfilled their life. They gave their all to the call that God had placed upon their life. Sadly, there's so many people coming to this point in their life and they're looking back with regret. There was nothing they did. They never influenced a person. They never touched another life because they lived for themselves and not for others. God called us to be his hands and his feet and his voice in this earth to make a difference in the lives of others. Today, you may be a farmer a wife, a mother, a postal worker, maybe called to teach children, maybe your callings to youth, men or women. I want to challenge you this morning, recommit your life to say, God, use me, spend me to be everything I can be for you. Why is it important to have a call? It's because if God calls us to do something for him and his kingdom, every call, every person in here is called to do a particular thing. Each call has its own reach. Do you know that? God's called us to reach these people, the Roma people of Slovakia. We try to reach the Slovak people too. We love them. We preach to them and we love on them. So God's called us to this country. But God has a call for you. There's going to be people you'll touch and reach that I'll never know. There'll be people that you'll have influence on that your pastor will never run across in your life. Because God has a specific reach for you in the call he gives you. Wherever that call may be, like I said, a bus driver or school teacher, God's using your call to reach a particular group of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are 6,000 unreached people in the world today. 6,000 unreached people groups. That's over 2 billion people that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ one time. Unreached people. That's the reason why. That's the reach that God is giving us. We've got to reach these people. We've got to try to get them and bring them in before it's too late. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, how then can they call on one they've not believed in? That's a good question. Here's another one. How can they believe in someone they have not heard? Here's a third question. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And the fourth question that Paul asked, and how can they preach unless they're called? See, there is a real connection between reaching and the call. People around this world will never be reached unless God calls you to do that. And that's why it's so important for us to listen to the voice of God. Amen. Sometimes they're fishermen, they're hunters, they're livestock keepers. They live in urban areas and huddled masses. I mean, they're all around the world. People are waiting for someone to tell them the good news. That's the reach that God's called us to. And the second thing is God's called us because our call has a reason. There's a reason for our call. Man, why is it God calls people? It's because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? We're all doomed to hell. I mean, there's no hope for us if we don't have Christ in our lives. And so there's none righteous, no, not one. That's why the Bible says. So there's people perishing in the world. And the only way they're going to find hope is someone tells them about Jesus Christ. 680 million people die every day. They've never heard the name of Jesus Christ mentioned one time. Man, over 1,000 villages in our country have never had the gospel witness. As Darlene has said, kids have never heard the story of Jesus Christ. We go into villages, they've never heard the message of God. That's the reason we go, is they can have hope and have eternal life in Jesus Christ. So it's important for us, the reason that we go is the call by God. And the reason why it's also that we say yes to him and be obedient. I mean, that's a little bitty word, yes, but it's a powerful word. They're willing to say yes to him. And the last thing let me share to you is the call not only has a reach and it has a reason, but the call, it requires a response from all of us. God's given a general call to all the world, come and follow me. We have to specifically answer that call. We have to respond to the call of God. While Jesus was hanging on the cross over 2,000 years ago, he said three words. It is finished. What was he finished with? He was finished with his calling. He was called to come to this earth and give his life as a ransom for all men and women and boys and girls. He came to seek and to save that was lost. He came to be a righteous witness. He came to be obedient to his Father. He came to do all that. That was his calling, was to come to the earth and be flesh among us and show us the way to God. And when he hung on the cross, as he hung and stretched out his arms, he said, I have finished my calling on this earth to come and ransom you and give you salvation. Paul, in the latter days of his life, right before he was executed, he said these words, I have fought a good fight. I have what? Finished my course. I have kept the faith. What was the course he was on? It was the call of God. I read for you in Romans 1 a while ago. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called. And Paul, at the end of his journey, beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead, went through all kinds of obstacles preaching the gospel. But when he came to the end of his journey, he told us all, I have finished the calling God gave me. I've finished my course, and I have kept the faith. This morning, let me challenge you. Whoever you are, whatever God's speaking to you, no matter how old you are, how young you are, God has a call for you. Find that calling. Find that place that God wants you to be his hands and his voice and his feet and make a difference in your world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, thank you this morning for the call that you've placed on them on our lives. Thank you, Lord, for sending us, Lord, to do your work around the world. Lord, thank you for people like Pastor Brandon and Kinsey who have come here, Lord, called here, and all the pastors and people who've been obedient. Lord, the call is just not for missionaries. It's just not for pastors. It's just not, Lord, for Sunday school teachers. It's for all of us. That we can find our place. We can find our purpose, Lord, and we can fulfill your will in this world. I pray, help us all to be influential people. Help us to affect change in the lives of people through the life we live. I pray, use us, Lord, in this morning that we would recommit our lives to be your hands and your voice and your feet for you. In Jesus' name we pray.